Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
All right, well, let's warm up the tires. Today we're kind of do a little news rundown, and then we had the opportunity to interview Chris Branch about his documentary, Race Fan. So we're going to be bringing you that interview. We'll have our Woman of the Week, who is Brittany Force, Badass Woman of the Week.
She's complete badass.
Complete badass. And then finish up with Little Shit We Didn't Make Up, which involves chemistry and fire, our two favorite things.
I love fire.
I know you do, and I do too, so it's fine.
Yeah, I really do. In news, Gabby Chavez and Harding Racing made the official announcement.
Right, and I'm not going to lie to you, I really felt like this announcement happened like mid-season last year.
Yeah, it definitely could have happened like 3 months ago.
When they were like, they have a new announcement, I was like, shit, what are they announcing? Doesn't everybody already know that this is happening?
Apparently it just wasn't official.
It's Facebook official now, so...
Yeah, so it's the real deal. So, all you side chicks, back off.
I think, by the way, I think Gabby's... Is he engaged?
He is engaged to a woman named Gabby.
Thank you. I wanted to say, and his fiance is... Also named Gabby, which...
Also named Gabby.
I'm going to go ahead and go on record. If they have a child and name it a G name, I will be sorely disappointed.
I don't know how they can have a child and not name it a G name.
I know. You know, I secretly hate that. When people are like, my name is Tiffany, and this is my husband Tom, and this is our child Tyler. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
I'll tell you what's always funny to me is when all of the kids have names that start with the same letter as only one of the parents.
I feel like that's
how
awkward.
That conversation goes of like, because I get it. There are certain letters that I like more than others.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care for the letter G, as a matter of fact. That's half of the reason that I changed my middle name. And so I just always wonder about that conversation. Like, hey, so you are fine as a person, but I hate the letter that your name starts with, and so we're going to start all the kids with my letter.
That's a weird conversation to have. So Gabby's full-time. It's full-time. They're running all the races this year, and apparently they've also moved into Ed's old facility. Have you been able to see if the signs changed on that yet?
I have not.
I mean, I know you are under quarantine.
I'm still under quarantine, so no, I have not made it down to Main Street this week. But I would check it out this week when I head back to work.
In the announcement, they indicated that part of the reason why they haven't been able to test yet is that they were making that move into it's no longer Ed Carpenter's facility anymore, so into the Harding Racing facility.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Also exciting, they are entertaining the idea of a second car.
Awesome.
They're kind of seeing how that shakes out, maybe just Indy... Maybe summarize. They're playing it a little cautious, which I can appreciate.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited to see how they do. They've got, you know, Brian Barnhart is there. They've got an Unser involved. It's another local team. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. Gabby Chavez really is a very nice guy.
He really is. I know we kind of give him a little bit of grief, but he's a good kid.
He is. I mean, we've given him a little bit of grief, but he is a nice guy, so.
I mean, he's not that bad of a driver. I mean, he was Rookie of the Year 2015, I believe, so.
Yeah.
He's obviously got chops.
He definitely does.
He didn't do too bad at the 500 this year.
No, he really didn't, so it'll be an interesting year to have him in the mix with everything, so.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I am too.
Anytime there's a new team, I get excited. Anytime there's an announcement, I get excited. Dale Coyne, would you fucking announce?
Oh my god.
Of course, now that I say this, you know he's going to announce before I put this out there, and I'm going to be really upset.
Oh, guaranteed. He's definitely going to announce tomorrow.
Yeah. He'll be like, oh, here you go. Thanks, Dale.
Teams and drivers have a lot of opinions on the new model.
I'm going to go ahead and, again, go on record and say that we're going to hear something for about the first half of the season that's like, whoever conquers the car first will be the winner, or some sort of grandiose statement like that.
Oh, guaranteed.
Because it seems like it's a good car. It's a good car, but it's also a very feisty car.
It is not an easy car to drive.
It is not an easy car to drive. I'm hearing, like, Bourdais said it was a struggle. Ryan Hunter-Reay said they're very busy. Everybody's talking about, like, this car is going to fight you as a driver.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think that'll make for a very interesting season. Maybe if they talk about, you know, whoever conquers the car first, we won't have to hear that races are won and lost in the pits until, like, July.
So we've given you a new little phrase there, NBC. You're welcome. You're welcome. Just whoever conquers the car. Let me make it even better for you. Whoever conquers the beast wins. There you go.
That sells itself.
You're welcome. I know that people kind of were shitty about the different testing schedules. So Scott Dixon, Hinch were doing the manufacturing testing for Honda. And then it was the Penske boys and Ed Carpenter for Chevy.
Mm-hmm.
When I was kind of reading and catching up on, now that everybody's testing, they kind of indicated that this manufacturing testing that was really ran by the engines themselves and not the team. So while Scott Dixon got hours in the car, it wasn't Chip Ganassi Racing that was kind of running like, okay, we're going to change this and we're going to change this. It was Honda basically saying, we're going to change this and we want to see what it does. And we're going to change this and we want to see what it does. So,
gotcha.
And they still get a bit of a, I don't want to call it a bump.
I mean, somewhat of an advantage because they have a little more time in the car than anybody else.
They've got more hours in the car, but I don't think they have any more data from the car, if that makes more.
No. And since it wasn't something that they and their team were controlling how things were being changed and tweaked with, mm-hmm. they're really still starting from about the same place.
Yeah. I mean, Scott just knew ahead of time, this car's a little bit of a filly. It's going to buck on you. So yeah, they're out there testing. I know the 21st, sometime around the 21st, teams are testing, including the coin TBD, so maybe we'll get somebody there.
We shall see.
We shall see. So it'll be exciting. I like seeing all of the images and video because, gosh darn, that car is really pretty.
Oh, it's so pretty.
And it's just, like, even standing still, it looks fast.
It does.
I like that they've really honed the aerodynamics of it.
I really do, too. They have made that just a beautiful car to look at.
They really have. They really have. I'm excited.
I mean, it's a sexy car.
I'll say it. It's a very sexy car.
It's a very sexy car.
I wish my car would look like that.
I can't wait to stare at it.
All day.
All day. Oh. I'm going to ogle the shit out of that car.
They're going to be like, ma'am, can you leave the garage area? Nope.
If that car was a person, I would make it uncomfortable staring at it. Team IndyCar updates.
Yeah, you have been under quarantine, and you have caught up on the Amazing Race, right?
I have. I have caught up on the Amazing Race. I want to be real clear about my updates, though. I have never really watched the Amazing Race prior to this, and I'm not really watching it that much now either. I don't really enjoy the show. It's learned. I tried to watch the whole thing, and I was like, I can't do this. I just don't care. So I just, you know, kind of fast-forwarded, gotten the gist of what the challenge is, and then I just fast-forward until I see Connor and Rossi.
I want you to know that my parents have taped it, and my mother said that that's what she and I will be doing, is the exact same thing. Like, she doesn't want to watch it, but she wants to watch the race car drivers. Yeah, so what's happened? Have they survived?
So they have survived. Rossi, let's see, had to go out on, like, a zip line to grab a flag.
Okay.
And then Connor had to pull him back. That was pretty funny, just because they were, you know, making comments to each other back and forth. And then there was something else. I think one of the clips that I sent you, Rossi just cracks me up because he has a very dry sense of humor.
It's super dry.
And they were looking at something under a microscope. Oh, I think at a diamond. They were looking at a diamond under a microscope and getting all this information. And then one of the numbers gave them an answer to something else. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But Rossi's messing with the microscope, and Connor's like, hey, are you doing this and this and this? How'd you know to do that? And Rossi just barely looks at me and goes, I read the steps. And then he just goes back to what he's doing. And it just, like, the dumbass was just implied. And it made me burst out laughing. I actually watched it a second time because I was like, that's such an answer that I would give.
Yeah.
I read the steps, dumbass. I think that Rossi and I might be sarcastic soulmates, is what I'm learning on this season. It's kind of endearing Rossi to me.
I am so excited for you to be jumping on Team Rossi with me right now.
I mean, I've never not been on Team Rossi. Yeah. I just, you know, I just don't love him as much as you do. You know, but I've always
enjoyed him. Until now.
But yeah, now I'm really starting to enjoy him as a person because, yeah, he's cracking me up.
Yeah.
And they were doing something else where they had to spell out a name of a swear in Iceland. So it was this weird name that, like, you would have to pay attention to the order of the letters because you wouldn't just automatically know how to spell it.
Mm-hmm.
And so another team got done, and he thought it was Connor, and he was all excited. And then he realized that it was somebody else because they were in these, like, big suits. And he was like, oh, no, that's them. Well, good for them. Like, he was like, all right, Connor. And then he was like, oh, no, that's so-and-so. Well, good for them. And it made me chuckle because I was like, that would be me because I'm so competitive. I'd be like, yes. Oh, that's not my. Well, good for them. Like, let me try not to be a total bitch here, but – good for you. So yeah, it was exactly like that when he was going around there like, Rossi, you need to wave the fans now. I don't even know what place they're in. Maybe they're in like fourth or fifth. I know they're not last. They're like right in the middle. After the first week, I think they were in second place. They're not in second place anymore. I think they're just kind of right solidly in the middle of the pack. And on this week, Rossi actually drove in Iceland. And they were interviewing Connor and asked him, you know, how he felt about riding in the back seat with Rossi driving. And he, you know, and Connor's such a nice guy. He was like, I don't mind at all. He's like, I mean, I'm going to Indy 500 winner driving me around.
Love it.
I was like, that's awesome.
Okay. So,
yeah. And Connor's just been, you know, cracking jokes with everybody and having a good time.
He's such a good kid.
He is. So I have enjoyed their interactions, but I don't really care for the show anymore.
I know.
Also, I have had an update into some things that may be going on in Ari Leyendijk's life.
What's going on?
So for anybody who doesn't watch The Bachelor,
I just want to take a minute and laugh as to what this podcast just became.
Oh, I want to take a minute and say that for the record, I don't usually watch The Bachelor.
I know.
It is not my type of show. And to be 100% honest, I don't like the color pink. I'm really not that kind of girl.
I know.
But I've been sucked in this season. And so there is a contestant on who she plays the ukulele.
Okay.
She just is an odd little duck. I mean, I like her. Like, I'd be friends with her, but she's weird. And so she plays the ukulele, and she collects taxidermied animals.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's got, like, I don't know if it's a garage or a warehouse or what it is, of all these things that she's collected. Like, she's got a tiger, she's got a polar bear. And in, like, the very first episode, she was singing a song to a taxidermied seal that she had written.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, she's a little weirdo, but I like her. I mean, I'm into it. Okay, like, whatever.
All right, do you.
So the tail end of this week's Bachelor showed her and Ari talking, and she had told him about the taxidermy thing, which I just could not wait until this came up. And so she has this seal that's one of her favorites, but he's older, so he's kind of beat up and missing fur in places and whatever.
Oh,
and you can see that Ari's, like, trying to, like, not say this is the weirdest fucking thing ever. He's trying to be really polite about it. He's like, okay. Oh. And he, like, touches it and is, like, petting it and whatever. And, you know, she's like, yeah, don't act. And, like, it's totally normal, and it's totally not.
No.
And then he says, you know, I have a friend that collects doll parts.
What?
And then the girl turns to him and says, oh, no, that's weird. Everything about that entire exchange was hysterical to me. I was like, this deal, girl. You don't have any room to call somebody else weird. But collecting doll parts is creepy as fuck.
It is. If you remember,
the kid Sid in Toy Story?
That and then Dexter. That was the whole, like, first season.
Yeah. Then it made me think, he's hanging out with people who are collecting doll parts.
There's something going on.
I think that explains why he's still single.
Yeah.
So we may have solved that mystery, people.
Yeah. Then he's surrounding himself with weird people. That might be it.
I mean, maybe the story's about him, and he was just, you know.
Right, like, I have a friend.
I've got a friend. I'm just saying. seems suspect.
It does. We were very excited to interview Chris Branch about his documentary Race Fange, which you'll hear kind of details his family story of going to the 500 since 1987. And we think you will enjoy it as well. Joining us today, we have Chris Branch. Chris is putting together a documentary called Race Fans about the 500, and we thought we'd have him on here to talk about the documentary and how everybody can help get this thing off the ground. So, Chris, thank you very, very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So, let's just dive right into it. Why don't you kind of give us a rundown of the documentary?
Okay. Well, it started probably about 5 or 6 years ago. I was living in Florida at the time. And take a long road from Florida to Indiana for the 500. I had this idea, you know, we make this track, we put the Mecca for the 500. Me and my brother and my nephew, and we have family. Of course, I have family up here in Indiana, so we would stay with them. So it was always like, you know, this would be a neat story to tell, you know, to the everyday people who don't know what the Indy 500 is really about, to their race fans. You know, we live and die by the 500, essentially. So,
sure.
It just seemed interesting, and I tried putting it together, but it was really hard living in Florida because I had half my family there, half my family here, and it's just now it seems like it's the right time because my family comes up. I've got everybody else here. Let's go ahead and do the documentary. And I just thought, you know, better time, better late than never. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So, what kind of story are you hoping to tell with this documentary?
Well, I mean, my grandfather he was in the National Guard, so he was a yellow shirt before there were yellow shirts because the National Guard did security for the Speedway.
Yeah.
So he was part of that for a long time. You know, he saw Duke Nayland crash and catch on fire. That's how far back that goes. My dad went to the race. He was there in 64. He saw the Eddie Saxon, Dave McDonald crash. That happened right in front of him.
Mm.
So he lived through that. He was there for the turbine, and, you know, he saw all of that. And then, you know, we became race fans in the 80s. So it's just a wonderful story, I think, of innovation. And, I mean, there's so much about the 500 that's great. You know, there's love, there's hate, there's passion, there's excitement, there's, you know, disappointment. You know, that's a movie script done to itself every single year.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just thought, you know, it's better late. You know, let's tell this story. Let's tell my side of the story. You know, if people like it, I'm okay with it. If they don't, if they go, this is kind of lame, I'm okay with that too. You know, it's not for everybody.
Sure.
It's for race fans, you know. It's for people like me. That's why I'm making this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a great idea. What, you know, there's a lot of ways that people have kind of captured the memories. What made you think about doing a documentary instead of like a book, I guess, or some sort of other sort of medium?
Well, I'm kind of a history nerd. I love history and I love documentaries.
Sure.
And I've been watching them forever. And, you know, I love, you know, sports documentaries and the 30 for 30 series. And, and that's what I'm like, you know, I could do this. And, you know, I could write a book and I could do a book. I've got tons of pictures. I go down and every year and take thousands of pictures. And, you know, I've been to different IndyCar races and I thought, you know, I could put a picture book together or, you know, and I get encouragement. I have family, you know, Chris, you should write a book at least. But, you know, like Robin Miller says, books don't sell, you know. And we stumble upon this and go, hey, this sounds interesting. Let's take a little time out and do this. Instead of having them purchase a book and read the book, you know, they're not going to do that. They're more liable to see it on TV or on YouTube or if somebody gives them a DVD, you know, to see it that way. I think it just gives a broader exposure for the 500 than a racing book would.
Certainly, certainly. What have you kind of done so far in the documentary as far as putting it together?
Well, I've done research at this point. It's you know, I've been watching a lot of documentaries. I've been in contact with the Speedway. I've been in contact with Channel 6 News, you know, out of Indianapolis, you know, WRTV.
Yeah.
And I've come to the conclusion that to make this as a professional, not professional per se, but as a slick as a 30 for 30 or a professional documentary, it's really expensive.
Sure.
Very expensive because video costs money, pictures cost money.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in touch with somebody at the Speedway in the production department, and he's like, use your own stuff, shoot as much as you want, because it's going to cost you an arm and a leg to do it any other way. So I thought about, you know, do I want a media pass? Do I want this? But along with a media pass comes insurance, and that's expensive. And he says, just shoot it like a race fan. You are a race fan. And if I'm a race fan, what am I doing shooting places that no other race fan can go anyway? I can shoot as much as I want. I can use my own pictures, kind of like a Ken Burns style. I don't know if anybody's watched Ken Burns documentaries, but yeah. he uses a lot of pictures. Mm-hmm. I've got my own pictures, and I'm trying to figure out a way to use media without using media. Maybe I can take a picture or something, you know. But right now I'm in that stage of just organizing stuff, writing a script. I'm in a debate now whether I narrate this on my own, or I have somebody with a better voice than me narrate it for me. I mean, I'm in that debate right now. So right now it's a writing process. It's a lot of research. A lot of this stuff is coming out of my head because I'm an encyclopedia of Indy 500 knowledge, you know. Yeah. I'd be rich if useless knowledge was a money-making deal, you know.
Sure.
But I've pulled out the old 500 yearbooks. I've got about 25 years of the Indianapolis Star for the month of May to pull from. So I've got a lot of different things, plus the internet and my dad and my brother. So I've got a lot of things to pull through. I'm just pulling different, asking questions from people and getting a set of questions to run through. Cause I want all this together. I want everybody's version of their story. You know, there were four of us at the race in 89.
Yeah.
And we had seats in Grandstand K, which is right in between turn three and four. At the time was in between three and four. So I know the last thing I heard at that race was Lil Al and Emor coming down the backstretch side by side. Mm-hmm. That's the last thing you could hear on the radio. That's how noisy it was. Mm. And then they come through, and, you know, of course, Emo comes out by himself, and then Al Jr.'s in the wall. But, you know, it's stuff like that. I want to know how they were feeling. That's what I'm going to drill through. So I'm putting those questions together and trying to pick which races do I want to talk about.
Yeah.
From, you know, our history, we've been going since about 87. So that's where I'm pulling from now. And just
that's awesome.
Right. So, a lot of different questions. And it's a fun research, that's for sure. You know, it's not work for me.
No.
Is it usually a group of, what, like 4 to 6 of you that go every year? Or what size groups do you guys usually have?
I think we've got 7 tickets now. We were on the north end we started out on the backstretch in 87 with 4 tickets when they had backstretch grandstands. And then they moved us to Stan K the next year. And then we had seats there till they built the North Vista. Okay. And we sat there up until 2014 was the last year. And then we moved over to Southwest Vista at the exit of 1.
Yeah.
Oh, so nice.
We're at the exit of 1 now. So it's me and my 2 brothers. And that's growing into my 2 brothers with my 2 nephews. One of my brother's father-in-law goes, and my wife, I took my wife last year. It's the first time she'd ever been. So we've got about 7 of us who go to the race every year.
That's great.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So are there any fun family traditions that you guys do every year on race weekend?
We did up until a few years ago. We used to have a slot car race. The old 440X2s.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin had them for a while, and then my nephew took it over. We would hold a big race. You know, it was double elimination. There was money involved. It was a 50-lap shootout at the end. We would do that. It was just to get the family together and have a cookout and do some slot car racing. Now it's just, you know, it's Carb Day is one of our traditions, of course.
Sure.
You know, so we all get together and go to Carb Day. And not a lot of, I know a lot of people got their basic traditions. Ours is just stop at a gas station, get some donuts and a coffee and a chocolate milk and head down to the track, you know. The new tradition, because we used to park in a Coke lot. So that was always an adventure, was just to sit around in the Coke lot and people watch.
Oh, yeah.
For years. But now we've moved down to the south end of the track. So we come into the track early. And we walk through the infield, you know, walk behind the pagoda. That seems to be our new tradition. And it's about family. It really is about getting, you know, this is what we do as brothers. We get to do, you know, together. You know, I have one brother in Florida and I have one here, you know, in Kokomo. So it's when all three of us get to get together and just, you know, kind of hang out and have fun. And it's something we all agree on, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I get that.
we don't agree on football teams or baseball teams. So, you know, this is their one thing that we do agree on. So,
awesome. So you said you've been going to the 500 since about 1987?
87.
Okay, 1987.
87 was my first 500. So it's kind of spotted. One brother is he went 86. So he's the guy. Rain follows him everywhere. It's really funny. Any first event he goes to, it rains. So of course it rained out for the first time ever when he goes to the race. First year he went to time trials, it rained out. You know, so everywhere he goes, it rains out for him on the first year usually. But he went 86. I went in 87, and then. My oldest brother, he started coming with us in 89. So, it's been almost it's about like 30 years that we've been, you know, off and on going to the race together.
Wow. That's awesome. And this is always a hard question for people to answer. Could you choose a favorite race?
Well, right now I would say I'm a huge Ryan Hunter Ray fan.
Okay.
So 2014 is going to be my favorite.
Okay.
Year, you know,
yeah.
That finished. I felt like Ricky Bobby. I was like, "What do I do with my hand?" You know, I was so excited. But I would say that's one of my favorite 11. You know, for sentimental reasons, obviously. I mean,
yeah,
who saw Weldon coming out? You know, pulling that one out of a hat. But those are up there in the top two. A lot of people pick 92. I hated 92. It was so cold and miserable. All day long, and I was a huge Andretti fan. And of course, you know, he breaks, and then he parks right in front of us. Wonderful, you know. But I know a lot of people pick 92, but that's not one of my favorites. But right now, 14 is my favorite, I think.
Oh, yeah. So that answers another question I like to ask is, who's your favorite driver? So, big fan of Ryan Hunter Ray is what I'm picking up.
Yeah, it started with Mario. I remember listening to my first race in 81. So Mario Andretti was my favorite.
Okay.
And then Michael came along. So, you know, I went for him. And then I felt bad for Ryan Hunter Ray early on when he signed for Andretti because, you know, he got three or four races. I'm like, this guy's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he was a guy to root for. And then the more I watched him, he reminded me of Michael Andretti when he drove. You know, he just, he'll stick a nose in there. He's not afraid to, you know, he's not afraid to hang it all out to win.
Yeah.
And I just loved his driving style, so I've kind of picked up on him, my favorite driver, for the past 4 or 5 years.
Okay. The documentary focuses on the 500. You've been going for so long. Would you describe what makes the 500 so special to you?
It's my Christmas. It's what I count down to every year. I mean, this goes back to when I was a kid, and it's just... It grabbed a hold of me early, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the excitement and the buildup. And, I mean, things at Indy used to happen that don't happen at any other racetrack. I mean, you know, the car don't start on the grid, you know? Mm-hmm. A big name is out first. I mean, a lot of this stuff don't happen during the season. It happened more back then than it does now. But it just... It was just the excitement, the speed. I mean, you know, they were breaking records every year back when I was a kid. So
yeah,
that all of that, just the smell, you know, once I got to the track, I didn't get to the track till I was 14. So it was a long wait for me. Cause like the start was about 9 and I didn't get to the track till I was 14. And you know, it was the sights, you know, it's the smell of the methanol and to hear the motors. And there were different motors back then, you know, and with different pitches, and I got lost in it, you know, I really, really did. And then, you know, it's, some say obsession. I wouldn't say obsessed, but my wife would probably argue that.
Sure, I get that. So looking forward to this upcoming race, what do you think you're most excited about for the upcoming 500?
Probably the new body styles. I'm anxious to see from what I've seen from testing is, it's a driver's car, which means you're going to separate the good from the decent, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to, you know, they just seem like they were easier to drive. So I'm looking for that more, that unpredictability, I guess.
Yeah, no, I
know. And I think you're going to have, it's going to be a, a, a more of a level playing field between the Chevys and the Hondas because it's the same body work. So, and hopefully the speeds will be up there a little more. You know, last year was pretty exciting with some, you know, with the speeds going up. So that's not look too good. I mean, you know, you got some new teams coming in. That's exciting. But, you know, I'm Ryan Hunter Ray's been in kind of a slump lately. So I'm looking for him to have a breakout season and to quit having bad luck at Indy because these past 2 years, I swear.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he can kind of, yeah, he's not had some good years. So maybe this will be his year. So we'll see.
I'm hoping. So,
so circling back on the documentary, you're calling it Race Fans. Do you have an idea of a tagline yet for it? Or if you could kind of think of one?
Not yet. Mm-hmm. I don't. Race Fans, it was... I didn't know if I can't use, I'm afraid I can't use Indy 500 fans when having to pay for Indy 500, you know?
Sure.
So that's why I went with Race Fans. So, because I figure if I'm going to, you know, any kind of media or anything that's going to have a name on it, if it says Indy on it, I'm going to have to pay for it, I figure. So I haven't had the tagline yet. Race Fans kind of, you know, everything's kind of, it comes to me in waves. Sometimes it'll go, I've been kind of on downside this week.
Sure.
Not doing much. And, you know, I've had, my stepdaughter's been sick. Now my wife's sick. So I've just been concentrating on, I got the GoFundMe page launched. So I don't have I haven't been able to work out like I want to, but that's going to kick back up in the next week or so.
Okay.
And, you know, the funding is my concern now because there's some basics I need to take care of. You know, before I can start shooting this thing the way I want to.
Sure.
So that's my next thing. That's my next goal is right now I'm focusing on trying to get some funding put together for it.
Okay. Why don't you, and we'll make sure, and to everybody listening, to kind of put this out on our social media, but why don't you kind of tell everybody where they can find the funding and kind of what your tiers are for your GoFundMe page.
Okay. It's GoFundMe, so it's going to be GoFundMe.com. You can search in their search engine. It's just under Race Fans.
Sure.
It'll pop up. There's I think it's a picture of the 68 Lotus Turbine.
Nice.
It's a big, bright orange race car, I think, is what pops up in the picture. But it's that, or you can go to the, you know, www.GoFundMe.com/race-fans-documentary.
Okay.
That'll take you to it, too. But I know if you search it on their GoFundMe pages, Race Fans, it pops up in the top two or three.
Okay.
I do have three levels. Anybody who donates, or I call them sponsors because donate seems like I'm asking for money.
Sure.
So I don't want to sound that desperate. So I'm calling them sponsors.
I like it.
Get a racing trip to it, you know?
Yeah.
But anyone who donates $5 or more will get a DVD copy of the movie for free, and they'll get their name at the end of the credits.
Okay.
If you donate $25 or more, you get a copy of the movie, your name in the credits, and then I've got a humongous collection of racing photos I've taken myself over the years. So I will just let me know in the comments who your favorite driver is, and I'll send you an 8x10 photo of what I've got.
Nice.
That comes with $25. And then a $100 donation or more will get you a presenting sponsor title at the beginning of the movie. So,
wow.
Plus all that, plus the movie and an 8x10 picture. So.
Awesome.
And then that's the three tiers I've got going.
Okay.
I did some research on GoFundMe of apparently you give out free stuff, people like to donate. So I decided I would give out free stuff as part of my pitch.
People do like free stuff. I will admit that. So how, so you said you're still in the writing brainstorm fundraising phase. Do you have a ballpark and when you hope this thing will be kind of ready to go?
I want to have it. Well, obviously I want us to end up shooting in, you know, obviously I'm going to shoot at the 500 this year. So that's May.
Sure.
I've got, my brother will be up in May. I'll have to interview him. My parents are living in Florida now, but they're talking about moving up here. So all this culminates with when I get my interviews done with everybody. I got a cousin up in Michigan, works for GM. he's a big race fan like we are. He said he might be doing some work for Firestone this year at the race.
Awesome.
So may be able to get a hold of him then. If not, I'm going to have to make a trip up to Michigan and do some interviews with him. He's been going. He went in 81, so he was there. He saw the Danny Angaius crash. So that's the point of him being in our, you know, he's part of the family, so he's part of the racing fans like we are. So I'm going to go interview him. I would like to have it. I want it done right, and I want it put together right. And obviously, it depends on funding.
Sure.
But I would honestly, if I had it my way, I would debut it probably May of next year.
Okay.
Just because I've been doing some research on, you know, you got to have music for this, and there are some free music out there you can download off of websites I have found out. So the putting together the production side, I think, is what's going to take longer than anything.
Yeah.
I don't look to be done shooting and having everything done until probably June or July, and then I'll start producing it. And if I get it done sooner, I'll have it ready for the beginning of race of the 2019 race season, probably so March of next year. But I'm really shooting for May at this point, May of 2019, cool. to have it all done and looking good and slick and everything ready to go by then.
Awesome. Well, let's see. So I just want to reiterate it before we let you go here. So it's the documentary is called Race Fans. And right. you can find it on GoFundMe. And do you have a dedicated Twitter to it, or is it through your personal Twitter? How can people find you on social media?
Yeah, you can find me on my personal Twitter. It's okay. K_Branch21.
Okay.
And then on Facebook, I've got a Facebook page for it's a Race Fans documentary. That's a public page. They can find stuff there as well.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll definitely get that out and have people check it out. So story that's part about the Indy 500 history and part about your family's history and going to the Indy 500.
Just fantastic. Right. Awesome.
It's a fan side of the Indy 500, essentially. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, very cool.
Well, we thank you so very much for coming on, and we can't wait to see what's going on with this documentary.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I so much appreciate it.
Thank you. As Chris said, you can find him on his personal Twitter. It's K_Branch21. Or if you're on Facebook, he has a Facebook page for the documentary, and you just search Race Fans Documentary, and he's got a GoFundMe page. So if you go to GoFundMe.com... and search for Race Fans, you should be able to find it. Apparently, it's got like a bright orange car. I'm so excited to see the documentary. Obviously, the Indianapolis 500 has a very, very special place in our hearts. And a documentary about, you know, family who's been going for quite a few years. Well, that's right up our alley. So very nice to chat with him.
It sure is. Yeah, I'm excited to see the finished product.
I am too. And we'll make sure to put all of that out on our social media.
You can find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/fastcarsfastgirls or simply searching Fast Cars Fast Girls in your Facebook search bar. We are on Twitter, as always, at Fast Cars in 317. We are on Instagram at Fast Cars Fast Girls. And, of course, our website, www.fastcarsfastgirls.com. You can find our podcast by going to any of those sites because there's links to subscribe. You can also search us in the Google Play Store, mm-hmm. on iTunes, mm-hmm. And on pretty much every other podcast host site available. So make sure that you subscribe, like, rate us, please share our stuff, share our videos, our clips, and share us with your friends and family.
Yeah, and you know, the season's starting back up pretty soon, so we also have a Snapchat, which is Fast Cars, FSTGRLS, no vowels. No vowels at the end of it.
No vowels at the end. So, yep, check out our Snapchat because we'll be heading on the road here in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And so we will be Snapchatting the shit out of that entire weekend.
Yeah, or Rolex. We will Snapchat basically 24 hours.
So if you have a sick sense of humor, now's the perfect time to follow us on Snapchat.
God only knows what we're going to find.
I promise that I will not disappoint you. On to our woman of the week.
Our woman of the week, Brittany Force.
Total badass.
I kind of want to say she's the fastest woman on the earth right now.
She definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, NHRA drag racer, Top Fuel. So first of all, that's the fastest class there is. So whatever. Eat it.
Yep. No big deal.
Yeah, it is. It's cool. It's cool.
She actually hasn't been doing it that long.
No.
The debut year was just 2013.
That's only 4 years.
That's pretty awesome.
It is. It is. And I think she got an award in 2013. I know, need to double check. I don't think it was like a rookie of the year, but it's like a, this is a somebody to watch award.
Nice.
So,
well, they were correct.
They absolutely were. So in 2016, she won the NHRA 4-Wide Nationals, first woman to ever do that.
That's badass.
Badass. And then she went on in May to set the record run of 3.676 seconds, which is like 320 some odd miles per hour.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's pretty fucking fast.
And didn't her dad have that record at one time?
I would not be surprised if her dad did not hold that record at some point.
I feel like he did. Maybe I'm just making that up, but I feel like he had that record at some point as well.
I'm sure. Well, he does funny cars now, but I'm sure in the beginning he probably did dragsters. So I would not be surprised. John Force is kind of an awesome person as well, by the way.
Yeah, he really is. So, well, that's awesome. Yeah, 324 miles an hour. That's ridiculous.
This is ridiculously fast.
It is ridiculously fast. And then last year in 2017, she won the Top Fuel Championship.
Yeah.
She was only the second woman to do so. The last time a woman won was in 1982.
Yeah. And I know that it has been overplayed on social media, but damn it, her father's reaction when that happened might be one of the sweetest things I've ever seen.
It really is just about the sweetest thing
ever. I mean, you just see, like, Papa Bear pride, and I was like, oh my God, this is kind of adorable.
It's completely adorable. Yeah. Like, he's so giddy and proud of her.
He really, and you can just see it, and you're like, that's it. Like, not only is he dad, but that's also like he runs that racing team, so that's like double awesome.
Which their whole family races.
Yeah, like everybody races in that family, I think, except for mom.
Yeah, I think everybody except for Mama Force.
Yeah, because like Pop John Force, Dad Force, he does funny cars. Her sister Courtney does funny cars. And then her other sister, you know, her other brother, Daryl, her other sister also does funny cars. And then, of course, there's Graham.
Right. And then there's Graham, who does IndyCar.
Then there's Graham, who does IndyCar. But I'm still giddy whenever, every now and then I think about Brittany and how she became the Top Fuel Championship this year. And I'm just like, you just want to copy and paste this and send it to everybody who thinks, well, women can't do the same thing as men. Oh really?
Pretty sure she just dominated in the fastest type of cars we have.
Like, she basically went faster than an airplane to get off the fucking ground. Like, what the hell? Obviously, women can do this. Just give them an opportunity and they can do it. Ugh.
Shit we didn't make up.
Nomex. N-O-M-E-X. Created by DuPont in the 1960s and introduced in approximately 1967. It's the shit the drivers wear.
Okay.
In like 64, there were 3 deaths that really led, they're based upon kind of the flammability of the clothing that drivers were wearing. There was the death of Fireball Robert, not a great,
like a poorly chosen nickname.
I was like, oh, that's really ironic.
Horribly ironic
at Charlotte, and then Eddie Sachs and Dave McDonald at the 500. DuPont had kind of been working on this for a while, and then after this kind of stepped it up, and by 1966 they even had prototypes going on, this kind of flame retardant material. There's a little storied history about the DuPont family as well. I can't remember the documentary, but it's very good. There's a documentary, and then there's the Steve Carell movie. Going back to Nomex, created by...
Going back to Nomex.
So basically, this is the fireproof materials that the drivers all wear, because when you're going so fast with fuel in your car, obviously there is a risk of something catching on fire, and we've seen it. You know,
we have.
It's unfortunate, but you've seen where things start to ignite. So the Nomex is good for kind of three key reasons. It's inherently fireproof, meaning if you take it away from the heat source, it's going to stop burning. And they did some tests, so Nomex, within 5 seconds, it stopped burning. Cotton took anywhere from 13 to 430 seconds, depending. So
that's a long time.
It's a long time. The second big thing was that it's slow to catch fire. Cotton took 2 seconds. Nomex took 4, which may not seem like a lot, but if you're trying to get somebody out of a car, 2 seconds versus 4 seconds is a long time.
It is.
So, and then finally, it's flame retardant. So should it catch on fire, it's not going to melt or drip.
That's pretty important as well.
Also very important. DuPont created all of created this kind of structure. I'm not going to get into the chemistry of it because, well, that's another 2 hours of everybody's life. But basically, everything the drivers wear is made out of this. Their suits, their gloves, their balaclavas, their helmet lining, socks, even parts of their shoe are made out of this material.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it keeps our drivers safe.
Very cool.
And it involves fire and chemistry, two of our favorite things.
Those are two of our favorite things.
Yeah.
Now, what is a balaclava?
Oh, yeah, so balaclava is the headpiece.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now that you say that, I'm like, I know that I know that word.
Yeah. So it's the head. It goes. Oh, so
it's
like
the ski mask.
It's the ski mask. Although, so I wear it when I run. And what a balaclava, typically there's a cutout for the face. A little shit we didn't make up.
Well, very cool.
I'm excited to get. We're on the road again.
We are about to go on the road again. I'm very excited.
I mean, what, a week and a half? By the time this drops, a week.
We'll be hopping in the car and heading down to Daytona.
Where hopefully it's warmer.
Yep, it looks like we're going to have good weather. It looks like it's going to be in the 70s.
Awesome.
Hopefully we don't have too much rain, but even if we do, it'll still be warmer than up here.
Well, at this point, I think anything is warmer than up here. Yeah, it's our first time ever to the Rolex 24 Hours.
Which, I'm giddy about 24 hours of racing. I'm giddy about 4 days of hanging out with everybody. It's going to be an experience unlike any other.
It's going to be our first. It's the first Rolex, first endurance race. Let's go.
Going to be one for the photo album, that's for sure.
Oh, God, yes.
I think it's time. Let's wave the white flag. What do you got?
Well, I kind of think I said it. I'm excited about Rolex. I'm looking forward to I'm not driving it, but seeing an endurance race. You know, I can remember when we interviewed Doug, when he talked about going to sleep with race cars, waking up with race cars. Like, that is something to me which seems like heaven.
I agree.
Yeah, so.
I feel the same way. I'm very excited for that. There's a few more things that I need to order from Amazon, because they sponsor all of our trips.
Yes.
They sponsor every race we go to, sponsored by Amazon Prime.
Yes.
But I'm excited for that as well, to go to sleep with race cars, wake up with race cars, and just to have 4 days of fun inside the track.
Definitely. I can't wait. I don't think
it's going to get much better than that. And I've never been to the track. And actually, I've never been to Daytona, period.
I know. I was just thinking, like, that's not anywhere I went for spring break was Daytona.
No. So I'm excited about that. And, I mean, I'm sure we're going to stop by the ocean at least once while we're there, because we are going to be in Florida.
Yeah. I mean, you can't.
We're not going to be that close to the ocean and not go and get in it. Let me be clear.
Let me just point that out to everybody.
Right, like, it's the Atlantic side, so it's going to be too cold to swim in, but I'm definitely going in up to my knees.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna just pull everything up and jump in real quick, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. So, I'm excited. It'll be a good time, and I'm excited to meet some new race friends.
Yeah, and just see, I mean, a lot of good people are going to be there. And we'll talk about it more next episode. I'm just excited to see everything.
Me too.
Yeah, so, all right, I think.
All right, well, thanks for listening. Have a great week.
Bye, everybody. Waving that checkered flag.